and welcome to the Visit East Lothian podcast, celebrating all the local beauty, history and culture that makes this part of the world such a special place to visit. This episode, we're joined by a true expert of the local area. As an acclaimed Blue Badge guide, John Harbour from Exclusive Scottish Visits knows as much about East Lothian as any travel book could tell you, if not more. So what can he tell us about the history of the area? And which places would he recommend to really experience the best of East Lothian?
You cannot beat a wander around proper wee shops.
You can't. And I've taken my grandkids, and the first place they head to, of course, when we arrive, is the Sugar Mountain.
Proper sweetie shop. Chocolate limes all the way. Yep.
Listen on as Gary Spence picks John's brains about the hidden gems and local stories of our beloved East Lothian.
Well, I hope the sun is shining where you are. It hasn't much this year, but we are here in the studio overlooking East Lothian, and it's a beautiful day. And it's going to be a really nice chat. I'm Gary Spence, and I am talking about Scotland, about East Lothian, about the incredible places you can visit. And I've been chatting to some very interesting people as well. John Harbour from Exclusive Scottish Visits joins me now. Hello and welcome.
Hello, how nice to meet you.
And I've already decided that if I ever write a book, which seems unlikely, I'd like you to narrate the audio book for me, because that's some accent you've got in you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say. It's a bit of a mix or a melange, having started in Gore Bridge many years ago as a wee laddie running around the mining village, and from there ran off to sea at the age of 16, joined the Navy, you know, went around the world a couple of times and come back eventually to my hometown, and that's the east coast of Scotland.
How many years were you in the Navy for?
I was in the Navy for 44 years.
So you obviously leave, I mean, I think 44 years, you'd done your bit.
Yes.
And you now run and are behind Exclusive Scottish Visits. So John is looking resplendent right now in a full tartan. What tartan is that?
That's the Mackay tartan.
Okay, because there's some middle names in there, isn't there?
There are.
Okay.
Yes, it's John Robert Mackay Harbour. And John Robert Mackay comes from my grandfather, my maternal grandfather. In fact, the story in the family goes that my grandfather paid my father half a crown for me to take John Robert Mackay. So I'm delighted to have it. I'm just absolutely delighted to be wearing Mackay tartan. And of course, my harbour comes from my father's name.
And I wondered, because as part of your tours, you're obviously, your website's incredible. So many Americans, I mean, you've got Russians, you've got people from all over.
Yeah.
So many Americans. I sometimes feel a little bit guilty that they seem more knowledgeable about my heritage than I do. They're fascinated, are they not?
Oh, they're absolutely fascinated. I mean, Americans come to Scotland for all sorts of different reasons, some just for the pure beauty of the country, but quite a few genealogical researchers. And I could tell you a story about one I've just had, which was fascinating for me, and I've only just dropped them off 3 days ago. Jim and Linda Wood, they won't mind me mentioning their name, and their two daughters came across to find their family roots. And one thing that fascinated me was that he was connected with Eyemouth, which is where my sister Margaret lives. And Eyemouth had a terrible disaster in 1881, where nearly 30 fishing boats were crashed onto the rocks due to a horrendous storm at that particular time. And his grandfather was on board the Harmony. And the Harmony was a small fishing vessel from Eyemouth, and sadly, it went down with all hands. So I went down to the museum at Eyemouth, a super wee museum in the Eyemouth Harbour, and met with the curator, Margaret, and we were able to track down not just Harmony, but the people on board, and actually where the relatives went to thereafter. Because, of course, the Eyemouth disaster left in Eyemouth alone about 70 widows and 300 bairns.
Of course.
But I'm delighted to say we were able to connect Jim and his family up. He found the Harmony. We've got lots of details about it. And even where the widow went afterwards, over to Gourock, and we went to Gourock to find the cemetery where her folks are now buried. Interestingly enough, on the waterfront at Eyemouth, there's a lovely widows and bairns statue. It's a fascinating piece, and the artist has actually drawn the characters from real-life characters. And right at the end is a woman and three children, and those were actually, one of them was his grandmother.
That's incredible.
We were able to track that down. So, no, you know, that's just one. There's many others that come, and I'm delighted when I get a Mackay, of course.
Yes.
And then we head up to the far north, up to Sutherland, to Mackay country.
But, of course, we think tourists love Scotland. I mean, look at it. It's beautiful.
It is.
We don't always have the weather, but it's stunning. But it's so much more than that. As you've just demonstrated, people are obviously here to enjoy the sights, to soak up the culture. But what you've just described there is a deeply personal and important moment in somebody's life that you must get to be part of quite often.
You're right. You're absolutely right, Gary. And it is deeply personal. And I feel very privileged to be taking these people around. And I do a lot of research in advance, but getting actually involved and you become friends already. I've just left them, I say, a couple of days ago. They're heading down to Harrogate before flying back. We've exchanged emails. And I know, as with many of my clients in the last 10 years, you know, Christmas cards, presents, and lots of lovely emails. Many of them come back. Actually, I've had one person has been back now four times.
Wow.
To visit Scotland, different parts of Scotland. So, no, it's great. The job I do, if it can be called a job, is absolutely marvellous.
That's when you've cracked it. And I'm saying that as a guy who plays music on the radio for a living. So, John, we're here to talk about East Lothian with Visit East Lothian. You are one of the best men to speak to because, firstly, you have a blue badge. Explain to me what that blue badge that you're proudly showing now, as if a Navy medal. What does that mean? How do you get it?
Yep. I have to say I'm very proud of wearing the blue badge. The Scottish Tour Guide Association, which was established in about 1959, is probably one of the only recognised guiding organisations in Scotland, certainly by the Tourist Board and by the Scottish Government. It's quite a badge of honour. It's a tough course. It lasts about 18 months and you do three things. You study core knowledge, which really is sort of history, geography, archaeology, geography. Then regional studies. You travel all over Scotland with qualified Blue Badge guides already and learn about the areas. You must have an inside knowledge of Glasgow, of Edinburgh, of Inverness, of Aberdeen. Then you visit the borders. And then there's a summer school as well where you go off for a week. And I went off to the far Highlands of the North and Speyside and Aberdeen. And there's professional skills. And I think this is very important because the professional skills displayed by Blue Badge guides are second to none. I mean, it sounds silly to teach somebody how to look after a large group on a pavement in Edinburgh in the middle of August. But it's very important because you've got 35 folk crowding the pavement, annoying everybody else, and what you've got to be able to do is corral them, look after them, and keep them safe while imparting important information. And a silly thing like being on a coach, you know, before you start off, the safety information that you provide to the team, you know, how to get out of the coach if, in the event of an accident, things like that. So the professional skills are very important. And the great thing about the Blue Badge, I think, is that the destination management companies and the tour companies in and around Scotland and England, in fact, all over the world, because I get emails from all sorts of companies all over the world asking for my services, is we are recognised. The Blue Badge is truly recognised as someone who will provide the professional skills, the knowledge, to be able to look after their clients. And at the end of the day, that's what they're looking for.
I guess what you're saying is, what I've taken from this anyway, is that there are lots and lots of tour guides, there are lots of tour companies, yep, more than ever, but, and this is something we find on our side of the world, believe it or not, in the media, that this is the recognised trademark of a professional.
Absolutely. If you see somebody wearing a blue badge, you know they've gone through hell for 18 months.
Yeah, but they've got a head full of facts.
They have, and they're professionally trained and should be professional in everything they do, including the way they dress.
I am looking forward so much to what you can tell me about East Lothian, because as I've said in previous episodes, it's somewhere I grew up around with family. I spent many years as a child wandering about because that's what you did before mobile phones. So I'm talking, and I can picture it now, getting off the train at Preston Pans, getting back on, Wallyford, Musselburgh, North Berwick, Dunbar, all these incredible places, and of course coastline for the most of it, which is a gift. Where do you think of first, and where would you recommend if someone phones up from Canada and says, oh, I had relatives in Longniddry, I want to go to East Lothian, what else should we do when we're there?
I mean, a great place to start, Longniddry. You get into Edinburgh and I'll either pick them up from the airport or train station or just jump on a train. 20 minutes later, you're in Longniddry. I actually normally drop my car at Longniddry and go into town rather than be in the middle of the city. But from Longniddry, you drive along the coast to come to my own hometown now, Aberlady, which has got a beautiful nature reserve and a lovely beach. And from Longniddry, It depends if they've got children with them or not. I think I'd be heading down to North Berwick as a starter for 10.
Okay, so I'll ask you about my children, where I would take them in a moment. But if you're the solo or part of a couple, two adults, where are we going? What are we seeing? What would you recommend?
Okay, the first thing I'd be doing is just making sure you're fit enough. But North Berwick has wonderful beaches, wonderful restaurants. It's got that sort of community feel. The shops, they're artisan. I often get Americans saying, we don't want to go to a mall. Well, if you want specialised shops within the town of North Berwick, then shopping, that's the thing to do. Afterwards, perhaps go for a stroll on the beach. But I'd also say, let's go up Berwick Law first. That's the first thing I'd do.
Berwick Law?
Berwick Law. It's 500 feet. It's an old volcanic plug. A nice wee hill. nothing too difficult there. It's about a mile and a half actual walk. A moderate climb, but the views from the top are spectacular. Because if you look behind you, away from the sea, you've got wonderful countryside, then look down upon North Berwick itself. And you get a real feel for what you're visiting. And then, of course, the sea beyond, and you'll probably see the Bass Rock sitting out there. That another great big volcanic plug with white today because of the guano from all the seabirds. The largest seabird colony, gannet colony.
See, stop. You're giving me so many bits of information I never had before.
Okay.
That's incredible. So that's why the colouring happens sometimes.
Absolutely. That's why it's white. Pure guano from the seabirds that nest there.
And you said it's one of the largest.
One of the largest gannet colonies in Europe.
This is amazing trivia. I love trivia.
Good.
And I love that we're talking about East Lothian because it's where I grew up around and I'm learning these things that, you know, places. The reason I asked you to clarify Berwick Law is because there's a good chance I did head up that as a kid but would have no idea that's what it was called. You see these things every day. You pass these buildings, you go past these iconic locations, sometimes with no idea of what goes on inside them.
Do you know, it's funny what you say that, because when I was a child, I remember going to North Berwick and not to the beach, and I always looked at that funny hill behind us, and I saw what was an upside-down V-shape, and I always wondered what on earth that was. Well, obviously, later on, I discovered it was a whalebone, and there was whaling that did go on in that area, not as great as some places like Dundee, but it was a whalebone, and up until, I think it was put there in about 1705, thereabouts, and up until about 2008, when it was starting to decay, they replaced it. And actually, they helicoptered in and put down what would today be a fiberglass type of whalebone itself. But it's still there, this iconic image on top of Berwick Law. And that's my image of North Berwick, apart from the beach and ice cream when I was a boy.
I also love the idea of a stroll around the shops, what I call proper wee shops.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where I'm from up north, you've got Victorian arcades and malls do their thing, as the Americans call them, the big shopping centres. You know, they're great for what they are and they're very impressive to look at. They're glitzy, they're great for almost nights out now. They seem to accommodate as much for that as anything else. But you cannot beat a wander around proper wee shops.
You can't. And I've taken my grandkids down there and the first place they head to, of course, when we arrive is the Sugar Mountain, the sweetie shop. Do you know it?
Have
you?
A proper sweetie shop.
Absolutely, with the jars, and she measures it out on the scale. And you've got everything in there.
Chocolate limes all the way.
Sherbet, space, you know, spacecraft, another sherbet.
Yeah, my favourite ones, and I still don't know at the age of 41 what they're called, is the ones that look like monkey nuts you get at Halloween, but they're not nuts, they're actually sweeties.
They are. Yeah, I used to love the packet with sherbet inside with the bit of licorice sticking at the top as well.
So, obviously, there's a lot of tourism in Scotland. Uh-huh. That's the most obvious statement anyone could ever make. But I wondered how many people from Scotland want to visit Scotland to find out things like this, to discover these areas that they might pass or know of, but not actually properly know.
I don't have the actual statistics with me, but I know a lot of Scots do want to visit.
And is it growing?
I think it is.
I feel it is.
The reason I know that, okay, I'll lay my cards to the table. I've got people from all over the world. As it happens, I'm lucky enough to be able to speak French, so I actually take a guide in French and take French around. So my general customers, majority American, Dutch, French, from Belgium, Far East as well, Switzerland recently, they were French speakers. I've never had a Brit in my car.
Wow.
And I think probably because they think, first of all, I can drive on the right side of the road and I don't really need somebody telling me what to do. And I wonder if that's Scottishness coming out. But in reality, the reason I know there's a lot of them now is because I do podcasts. I've got my own podcast, which I think you've probably listened to already, you know, Unique Scotland. And I've got a lot of people writing to me from Scotland saying, listen to your podcast. It was brilliant. Thank you so much. I've actually done the North Coast 500 following your 6 series
Wow.
on that. And so that tells me there's a lot of doing it. Hey guys, okay, listen, why don't you buy me a cup of coffee at the same time?
Yes, that's it. So I'm getting on the train at Waverley Station. I might have come from Glasgow, Dundee, Aberdeen, wherever. I'm at Waverley. I'm going to get on that train line that I knew so well as a child. I can still remember when it was a ding, ding, a bell. And I'm not, by the way, I'm not going back to the olden days. I'm going back to the 90s. Yeah. But yeah, take me along that train line. I've got my twins now because I'm 41. They are 11. Well, they've just turned 12. And I've got wee Charlie, who's 7. Where are we going?
Perfect.
What are we doing?
Oh, what a lovely age, because I've just had a family do that a few months ago. And the first thing we did was I picked them up in Edinburgh and I took them down to my little town, Aberlady, because right between Aberlady and Gullan is the Merton Motor Museum. And we had a 7 and a 9-year-old running riot around this wonderful old museum with old Rolls Royce, with old racing cars and motorcycles. It was just incredible. And almost an unknown place I discovered.
There we go again. I stopped you a little while ago when I couldn't quite, you know, keep a pace with the facts that were coming out. The Merton Motor Museum.
Yeah.
And how are we spelling that?
M-Y-R-E-T-O-N. Merton.
I had no idea there was a motor museum there.
Yeah.
Which I guess is why we're here.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to take them there.
Yes. And after that, then we'd probably go down, if they wanted, it might be early morning, it might be too early for Gullan Beach. Gullan Beach is absolutely fabulous. But the one place that adults like to see are garden centres. Especially Americans coming over, it's different for your good self. I'm sure you wouldn't mind walking around the garden centre. The great thing about it, at the back of Archer Field Garden Centre, is a play area for children, just the right age.
Does it have a cafe?
Just about to go on to that, it has a wonderful cafe.
Because in my experience, you will not get soup or bread or scones like you do in garden centres anywhere.
Well, this is definitely one to visit, because Archer Field is extremely upmarket. Wonderful homemade cakes, scones, super coffee. And on one side, you've got the garden centre sign and all those lovely places we like to have a wee look to see what we'd like for
again,
our gardens.
Again, it's like I mentioned with the wee shops, just a wee wander.
It is a wee wander. And the kids are playing outside. You can actually see them. And it's actually an enclosed area, so they, once they're in, they can't get out unless
Brilliant.
You go and get them. And then you can sit and have a nice coffee to yourselves. Do you know, from there, with the children, I'd probably pop then down to North Berwick again, the North Berwick Seabird Centre. A lovely place, which has interactive screens, and the kids can just move the cameras around on the Bass Rock, which are actually overlooking the nests, and they get up close and personal with gannets.
And of course, John, you'll find it's one of the biggest colonies of gannets in the world, I believe. So, see, I'm learning.
Honestly, Gary, this is incredible.
I'm learning.
It's amazing how osmosis tends to work. it's great. Do you know the other thing you can do is after you've done that, well, another place to go for a nice lunch is the Seabird Centre. And the views are fabulous. You're sitting in the cafe looking right across the North Sea and you can see the Bass Rock in the distance. And from there, the best thing to do is pop down to the harbour and get on a little ferry and have a quick tour around the Bass Rock. So it's a sea boat trip for the boys and girls. You then get up close and personal. And whereas they've just been watching these birds on the screen, it's now live, it's now real, and they can see these wonderful birds. And the noise, the cacophony, is quite amazing.
I had no idea, and I know what the Bass Rock is. I think a lot of people do, whether they're from East Lothian or Scotland or not. It's one of these places I follow a lot of Facebook pages with Scottish history and scenery and locations. I had no idea you could get a seaboat round it.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you can get seaboat trips out to the Isle of May as well. The other island you can go to or go round is Fidra. And for those who like reading Robert Louis Stevenson, for example, Kidnapped, Fidra Island is meant to be the inspiration for his island, the shape of the island. And of course, you're actually standing, if you stand on Yellow Craig Beach, another wonderful East Lothian beach, then you can actually see the Fidra Island just off the coast.
So we've got the seaboat round Bass Rock. We've got the Merton Motor Museum. We've got the best soup and scones in the country at Archer Field.
Yeah.
And of course, we could start it or end it with a wee trip up Berwick Law.
But I've got another little gem
okay.
for kids. And that is the Museum of Flight.
East Fortune. Now, that's one I do know about.
Good. Isn't it amazing? You know, one minute you've got kids under the wing of a Vulcan bomber, and this thing is huge. And next thing, they're running up the aisle of a Concorde, and there's other aircraft, plus, of course, an interactive engineering section where the children can just, you can just leave them to it. And I love the one where you heat the air under the balloon and it shoots up, and you can then do your dad thing of trying to educate them.
Yeah.
Hot air rising.
I remember my mum taking me to East Fortune for some sort of market or car boot sale back in the day, and it was actually on the ground, as you
That's
know.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, no, but I want to go to that.
Yes.
So, yes, I will look forward to that again. And, you know, know, one of the true pleasures of being a parent is taking your children to places that you went to as a child.
Absolutely.
And see
Absolutely.
Them and feel them experience it as you did for the first time. Let's do a couple of fast picks. Other little tips, and venues, locations, places to go, what to do in East Lothian.
Okay, place I love to have lunch is the Waterside Bistro at Haddington. Very family friendly, and of course you're looking down on the waterside.
Love Haddington.
La Potinière Gullin, fabulous restaurant if you want a special night out.
Well, I'm guessing that's French.
It is.
And you must be loving that. Do you order in French? Do you speak to the staff?
No. They're actually run by a couple of Scots. So we
great.
Don't need to. but it's a wonderful venue. Actually, in Gullin itself, if you just want a cup of coffee, I'll often pop into the Goose and the Green, have a coffee, then wander down to the beach. I've got a wee spaniel, Minnie might be listening to this, a wee cocker spaniel, and I'll take her in there and then down to the beach for a walk. I think that there's a real hidden gem, and I found it. In fact, once again, Minnie's involved because she gets her hair cut up in a farm up near Gifford. Now, Gifford's a small village, which you would not normally pass through. But there's a wee place called Lantern Rouge. There we go, French again. It's a cafe, and it's actually for cyclists, but pop in and have homemade cakes and coffee. Honestly, Gary, I could go on, as you can imagine, but there's a couple of little starters for 10.
John Harbour from Exclusive Scottish Visits, thank you so much for your time, and please do tell us about your website. I'm sure there are bundles of other tips on there.
There are. I mean, the website, and you just need to look up Exclusive Scottish Visits. The front page very much gives you an introduction as to what I can do travelling all over Scotland. The reason it's exclusive is because I do bespoke tours, in that you've got to write to me, you've got to fill in a questionnaire, I've got to know what you want to do. In fact, on the questionnaire it says, what would you like to do? And at the bottom, what must you do? And that definitely gets done. And I've had a crazy story of a wee boy who asked to see a black-nosed sheep, which I'd never heard of, to be honest. So a bit of research, and I found the black-nosed sheep.
I was going to say, of course you made it. And of course, we can get onto your podcast there as well.
You can. There's a link directed to the podcast called Unique Scotland, and that can be found also on any podcast platform.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcast, it's Unique Scotland. This is John Harbour from Exclusive Scottish Visits chatting to me for Visit East Lothian, all about that place I love, East Lothian. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Thanks for listening to the Visit East Lothian podcast. Make sure to rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and check out our other episodes as we explore East Lothian's festivals, agritourism, and some familiar places you may have seen on screen.
By series 4, Outlander was getting pretty massive. They went to Newhales and they only used it for one sequence.
And suddenly the visitors, as soon as the series came out, the visitor numbers shot up over 1,000%.
Oh my goodness!
From that year.
That's next episode on the Visit East Lothian podcast.